Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Living Mythology, I am proud to bring you the legacy show, The Pep Talk, with John Carl Pepe. And today I'm the guest on John's show. Greetings and welcome, John. How are you?
Very good. How are you, Hercules?
Okay, it's been a long day, one of those days.
Yeah. Well, you know, kind of we're all enduring, I think, what is this, day 1,000 of the Northeast heat wave?
Yes.
So I think we'll only have 200 more days of this heat wave to go, and we'll be free and clear. So, but great. I am excited for tonight's show. Like you said, it is a legacy show. We are going to revisit our old format on the old show before it became the Pep Talk. We'll get into that a little bit. But as you know, I do like to do a couple bits of business, so to speak, at the top of the show, well wishes and dedications, so to speak. So
awesome.
Right off the top, I have to say happy birthday to my older and only sister, Jane. Jane, I'm sorry to blow your spot up, but you are celebrating your 60th birthday today, 60 years young. Thank you for being an inspiration and forming my young mind. And I know as much as 12-year-old you wished for a younger sister, you did the best with what you got. So thank you, Jane. Happy birthday. I love you. Now we're going to start to get into some nerd stuff, so you can check out like we talked about earlier. So also, I do want to just a little bit of sad news, so to speak. Broadcasting lost a legend earlier this week, Vin Scully, who was the voice of the Dodgers from the Brooklyn days to the Los Angeles days. And, you know, he pretty much he saw a lot of it in his 94 years and was just one of those voices. When you think of baseball, you're usually thinking of, you know, it's baseball broadcasting, listening to baseball on the radio, you're probably hearing Vin's voice in your head. And one of the things that I loved about Vin Scully was just a lot, he had a lot of wonderful, memorable quotes, some very insightful, inspirational kind of stuff too. And one that really resonated with me when I first heard that he had passed was this quote that I'm just going to read really quick, and I think it'll all kind of come together. The quote is, "All my career, all I have ever really done, all I have ever have accomplished is to talk about the accomplishments of others. We can't all be heroes. Somebody has to stand on the curb and applaud as the parade goes by." And I find that very profound for those of us who, you know, talk about the accomplishments of others as we do on this show when we discuss pop culture or as many, you know, people do in their broadcasting or podcasting lives. So Vin, you really were an inspiration to all of us, you know, and you got it. Thank you. We're going to dedicate tonight's show to you. Again, it's some nerd stuff, so you can check out too if you want, but it's still going to be fun. So, of course, now I'm going to introduce my guest tonight, and it is also my producer and podcasting mentor, Hercules Invictus, the Herald of Tenafly, formerly known as Thor the Barbarian, a man who has lived many adventures and probably many lifetimes. And so for those of you who don't know and only know this format that we call the Pep Talk, back in November of 2020, Hercules and I started a long-form conversation keyed specifically on the representation of Hercules in comic books, Marvel, DC, other publishers. Then, of course, we expanded it a little bit to the movies and then to other characters like Thor and Conan. And, you know, we really had a lot of things that we wanted, that we talked about, ongoing conversation. And then Hercules graciously gave me my own show, and I really appreciate that, and I've been having a blast with it. But the condition I had was that every few months, you know, we can reconvene and continue our conversation, especially as advancements in certain things that we had been keeping an eye on occurred. So we will get to that later, but I do kind of want to treat this as, you know, the traditional interview show. So for those of you who don't know who Hercules Invictus is and only know him as the voice at the top and the bottom of the show, This is a great chance to get to know him. So we're going to get into some questions first. So Hercules, thank you for being here as always. And thank you for the opportunity of the show.
I'm very grateful, and you're very welcome. You're awesome. So how can I not have you on my channel?
I appreciate it. Well, I love being part of this. But enough of my yakking. So I think let's kind of start with what is your origin story? Where did you first start your adventures as a young lad, so to speak? And what kind of brought you to where you are today?
Well, I was born into a Greek household. In what is called Greek American culture. So that's Greek culture that's been transplanted to these shores. And it was kind of like an in-between place. The Greek culture moved on since the Greek Americans emigrated here. And the American culture had also moved on since they immigrated here. So you had a special in-between culture. So I lived here, and I went to a parochial school where I received a Greek and an American education. In the parochial school and at home in stories, I was first exposed to Greek mythology. And I loved mm-hmm. Greek mythology. I lived and breathed Greek mythology. And Hercules always held a special place for me because the stories go that Lemnians are descended from Hercules and the Argonauts. Lemnos is the mm-hmm. island where the Argonauts landed, where women ruled. So it was the Amazon island that you see in the movies. And lots of other things happened there, too, like Hephaestus, when he was flung from Olympus, he landed near Lemnos. He started a town there, and he had his forge in an old volcano, and Prometheus came there and stole a spark of the divine fire to give to humanity, and lots of myths transpired there. It was the first place that Hercules appeared as a full-blown god during the mm-hmm. Trojan War, when he was trying to convince Philoctetes to give his bow to Odysseus so the prophecies could be fulfilled. So I had all that growing up, and in the culture around me, I had the Mighty Hercules cartoon. I had the Sword and Sandal movies. So, yeah, I breathed this stuff in. And you're right, I have had many names over the years. I've managed to pack several lifetimes in this lifetime so far. Hercules was my first assumed name, and my birth name translates loosely into Hercules. It was the name that people who were like strength athletes called themselves Hercules because they had the same first name. And it's a tortured etymology, but it is a valid etymology. Part of my growing up, like with every kid, was to rebel against your culture, but I didn't want to rebel against Hercules or certain other elements. So I started looking for Hercules in other cultures. And it was like playing hide and seek. And then I would find something that would convince me either in the stories or in the scholarly literature or, you know, through the occult, you know, there was always some connection. So I'd find him in one culture, then I'd start exploring another. And my journey took me far and wide to cultures throughout the earth. Thor the Barbarian was kind of like a move where I was exploring two things simultaneously. Thor and the barbarian archetype. So just lump them together. Mm-hmm. And I don't only explore things by reading about them, I live them. So I went forth into the concrete canyons of New York City, sword in hand, and had lots of adventures, and minstrels with camcorders recorded them and edited them. And we had them on local cable for a while. We made a short movie. It was shown at a film festival and had some limited theatrical release, and moved into the wilds of Pennsylvania and fulfilled everything that was all about. So that part of me is at rest in its own paradise, and time to move on. And after exploring many different cultures, I didn't want to do that anymore. I played the hide and seek game. I know how to find this legendary archetype through cursorily looking, and it isn't hard. I just assumed the first name I'd taken, which is Hercules, and decided to adventure under that name till the rest of my days. However, people have been spontaneously calling me Zeus lately because of my hair is getting white. So who knows? I might have another name change at some point in my 80s or 90s, but I'm not attending it at this point.
Nice. That's interesting. So to hear about growing up in that culture where Greek mythology was revered and taught, right? I mean, you were given that as a very young age, and it seems like they did take it very seriously, because for those of us who are raised in sort of a Judeo-Christian household, you find the Greek mythologies through school and the library. You know, you get exposed to the mythologies that way. They are taught in schools, at least when I was growing up. So, you know, Bulfinch's mythology and you know, looking into the La Morte d'Arthur as a young lad, and of course finding the Norse mythologies, you know, and of course for someone like me as well, a lot of the introduction to that was through comic books like Thor. When you started reading about Hercules in comic books, or started watching the Sword and Sandal movies, was that embraced in that household, that culture, or was that considered, you know, oh, that's kid stuff, or that you know, that's not the true mythology? You know, was it looked down upon, or was everyone okay with it?
Well, people were okay with it. They were celebrating a Greek hero, so why wouldn't they be okay with it? And again, some people would quibble over the correctness of it, but in actuality, if you study the myths are pretty, you know, different depending on who's telling the particular myth. So that exists in antiquity as it does today, the different stories or what really happened and so forth. Like, for instance, a lot of people attack the Disney films for being inaccurate, but they're inaccurate in Greece. But if you look at Etruria with the Etruscans and Tuscany and their versions of the myths, there Hercules is the son of Zeus and Hera. There he never spent time on Earth, and she doesn't hate him and try to destroy him. And their son, because he got married to Athena or Minerva, was Mars or Aries. So the myths had different versions, and there are myths that exist on pottery that we don't even know the story. Like, there's a bunch of pottery where Hercules is fighting old age. Hieras is called in Greek. And in some he's fighting him, and in some they look like they're having a pleasant conversation. So whether that was one myth, a series of myths, nobody knows. And in Etruria, there are mirrors with Hercules and Athena together. It looks like they're family. And there's one famous pottery painting, I guess you'd call it. I put it on my Facebook page, where Hercules is sitting down, and Athena has her helmet off, and she's offering him something to drink, and he's like waving his hand like, nah, you know, it's okay, thank you. So for Athena and Hercules to be that casual, it implies, you know, something more than her being his mythic mentor. And the Etruscan tales and artifacts also support that. And I believe on Lemnos that was the case as well, because Lemnos is genetically and culturally tied to both Troy and Etruria.
Gotcha.
But no, they didn't have a problem with it, to answer the question. In fact, my father loved those movies, and that's how I got exposed to them. My father wasn't a bodybuilder, but he did work out. He had a set of weights, he had cables, he had, you know, a bunch of stuff, and he did occasionally, like, Jack O'Lane. So I grew up where it was okay to, you know, to do that also, and when he wasn't around and I could lift the weights, I would play with the weights. So I was off to a good start there as well.
Right, because in our conversation, we've talked about you were gravitated to Charles Atlas as a young guy, and you were also part of the Charles Atlas Society. Am I correct?
Yes, I it started with an interview. I wanted to interview whoever was in charge of Charles Atlas, and I found out that it was the filmmaker, Jeffrey Hogue. So I spoke with his administrative person, Cynthia, and we were trying to get this interview set up. It never happened, by the way. But in the process of setting up this interview, we became curious about each other. And then next time we were in New Jersey visiting my parents' home, and they were in Greece at the time, so I would go and take care of the home, that we got to meet Cynthia, and then we got to meet Jeff. And in time, we worked on other things too. So I worked with them first on trying to get an interview, and then worked with them on various projects. And then actually wound up working for them for a while. I was the VP of training and education. I've signed non-disclosure agreements, so I really can't talk about what we were cooking. But it was a lot of fun. I since left, but I remain friends with both Jeffrey Hogue and Cynthia, and I'm, you know, we're still friends today. We call each other every now and then and send each other notes on Facebook every now and then. So I miss him. It's been a while since we've been able to get together since the pandemic. I haven't seen a lot of people as often as I would see them before.
Now, tell us a little bit about your work as the Tenafly, the Herald of Tenafly. What does that entail? How long have you been doing it? I think you are just started a new term, right? Because it is a term.
No, that's correct? Something else. No, I'm an elected official. That's a term position. We came to Tenafly in 2014, and I started, I don't remember the exact dates I got involved with certain things, but am not really a political person, but right now our country is very divided. And even though I'm kind of independent-minded, I personally believe that, you know, this is a time to really, like, fight for things that you believe in, because everything's teeter-tottering back and forth. So one of the sides, and I won't say what side because people are polarized, expressed my values and what I thought should be happening better than the other. So that's what I got involved in. I started that journey in Pennsylvania, by the way, when I was doing my things there. And in Pennsylvania, before we came back here to Jersey, I was on a bunch of boards for various nonprofit organizations. I was very involved with the literacy. One of the last events we did in Pennsylvania, which was a very well attended by politicians event, was the gladiatorial spelling bee that I presided over. So we had teams, and we made it as much like professional wrestling in the way we put it together. And they were challenging each other to spelling bee, and a lot of the words were mythical. And that was a fundraiser for literacy. So when I came here, I started getting involved in the local county committee. After a while, I became a write-in for the county committee. So I was on the county committee rather than just attending meetings and helping out. And recently there was an election during the primaries, and I was elected back in. So this is my second term. The pandemic extended the term a little bit, I believe. There was an election that until they set up the early voting and things, I think there was some delay, but I'm not really sure. But anyway, this is my second term, and I'm really proud to be doing that. And again, it's a very minor type of position on the ladder, but I get to express my opinion. And a couple of times where I felt it mattered, you know, my opinion convinced people that that's the way we should go. So it got voted in that way. So I'm proud of the work I do there. Also in town, I'm the grandmaster of the interfaith parade. In Tenafly, we have a holiday parade that happens in December. And it could be any time in December. We try to avoid having it too close to the holiday, like in the same week, but It's like early in December. And there, as the president of the Chamber of Commerce is fond of saying, in Tenafly, we celebrate our differences together. So some of those have been well attended, some not as well attended, but generally we have people representing the different faiths in Tenafly, and they either give a talk about the season and their faith, or they do something like lighting a menorah or showing how people, approach those manger decorations that a lot of people put on their lawns. And I always close the ceremony by giving a Olympian blessing to the town. And I announce people, and I announce the musicians. So that's what I do there. And that's, I guess, for as long as people want me to do it. It's not really a term thing. Also with the Chamber of Commerce, I accompany the Chamber of Commerce and the mayor and the council people when new businesses come into town. So we do a ribbon cutting and welcome the new business into town and wish them success and so forth. Currently those are the things that I'm doing with the town. I'm also a believer in STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Now it's STEAM with an A added for art. So I've been getting involved both on my own. I have an Olympian STEAM program that I do. And then I also work with other groups that have been doing it longer and are doing it more. I'm doing things with Mad Science, which is, I believe, the biggest enrichment company here in northeastern New Jersey and beyond. And then I'm also working with a smaller enrichment company called Team Makers.
Cool. Yeah. One thing I do love about you is you always, you always give back to your community. You always strive to advance others. I just think that's a wonderful facet and an amazing thing that you always are looking to give back or give a little bit more than the average bear. And, I don't live in Tenafly, but I appreciate what you do, and not just in Tenafly, but, of course, everything that you do, even with the podcast network and everything, too, and how a lot of, for folks who want to check out, there's a lot of great self-help, spiritual stuff. Deep dives into mythology, gaming. I mean, it's a wonderful community that you've built and put together that really, I think, provides a lot of content for a wide range of people, which is great.
Thank you for your kind words. I'm glad that you're a part of it. Again, like I said before, you're an awesome person, and I'm glad to be adventuring with you. One of my passions that I also indulge in, that takes up most of my time, actually, when I'm not working out, because I feel passionately about that. Can't handle the weights I did when I was younger. I'm in my 60s now, but I still love working out to the extent that I'm able to, is I love exploring the mythic and the paranormal in popular culture and in culture. I used to investigate sightings of cryptids and do things in haunted houses, try to clear them of negative energy or to identify spirits. And I've been published in over 20 anthologies on the paranormal. Something's coming out that I wrote like this month or next month. And then there's a book now that the contract process is coming through. So that should be out sometime next year. Those same stories that spoke to me in the comic books and in the cartoons and in the movies and through my culture, the heroes are always getting out and encountering monsters and, going into strange new lands, between life and beyond life. So I tried to live that out in any way I could, too. So I guess that would make me a paranormal investigator.
There you go. Nice.
It was all part of the same thing. It was all part of the same, living out the legends, living out the myths. And you mentioned spirituality. I am a very spiritual person, but it's not a I'm better than you type of spirituality. Right. And Hercules, in terms of being a spiritual figure, he was the son of the greatest god of his pantheon, Zeus, but he found humanity very hard. So if there's a message to Herculean spirituality, is give people slack, because life is hard, even for children of the gods. And also another lesson that our society, I feel, needs to learn is just because you've made a mistake or a series of mistakes doesn't mean you can't do something good. And we live in a feet of clay culture where if someone tries to do something good, someone's going to dig out dirt on them and start flinging poo at them. So, again, people make mistakes. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have done great things. All of us have done things we wish we hadn't done in retrospect. But in the moment, you could only operate from who you are and what you know to make the best decision that you can make. So that's my spiritual message. Cut people lots of slack.
Yeah, and mistakes are how you learn as well, you know?
Yeah, indeed.
Not a lot of people realize that as well or recognize that. And you're absolutely right. We do need more of that in the world. We really do. That was awesome. Thank you so much. I think now it is time for us to, as promised, bring the lightning and the thunder and kind of get into our thoughts on the most recent Thor movie, Love and Thunder. And specifically, I just want to get right to the heart of it. Did you like the movie?
I liked the movie. I could understand why some people didn't like it, but I liked it. It was like a Ragnarok. It was, it had a lot going for it, I believe. You know, Thor showed a lot of growth, and they enriched the mythology by adding another level to it. Like they did in Eternals, which I also liked. And they really expanded painlessly the Marvel Universe. They left it on a positive note, and they introduced Hercules. So how can I not like it?
Yes. Yes, which we had been tracking for so long, and we had certain thoughts and expectations for it. Before we get to Hercules, because really, and again, spoiler alert for a movie that's been out for 4 weeks and will be on streaming on Disney Plus in about two, we already have. But so I really want to, one of the things that people, I think, were most polarized on was the portrayal of Zeus by Russell Crowe. So first and foremost, I want to know what your thoughts were about his representation of Zeus, considering you have greater knowledge of Zeus than most.
I didn't like that portrayal of Zeus, but Zeus has been portrayed like in antiquity. He was portrayed as a philanderer in like Homer and other ancient writers. And people forget that Homer and other ancient writers and playwrights were entertainers. They were making the television of their days, which is either a bard singing or people acting on a stage wearing masks. So this was the entertainment that they had. And Zeus was portrayed in unflattering ways since the dawn of time. The Zeus of religion, he was a more respectable, law-giving figure. Who represented stability and, you know, all sorts of things that we need as a society. But the Zeus of stories was fair game, again, always. So that's the spirit in which I took it in. He did an excellent job portraying Zeus in the way he portrayed him. Again, not my favorite portrayal of Zeus, but he did an excellent job portraying Zeus within the movie. And again, it's okay. You know, that didn't detract from my enjoying the movie.
Did now I know there were some people who had a issue. I guess took issue with the what they found to be a comically done Greek accent. How did you feel about that?
I didn't. It was comically done, but again, he was doing comedy.
Exactly.
I liked that he had a Greek accent at all. When I saw Hercules Goes Bananas, also called Hercules in New York with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Zeus didn't have a Greek accent, but he was a philanderer. He also, they played Greek music, which I appreciated, because in a lot of these films, they don't play Greek music. And so they played Greek music. And in this, I was flattered that he at least attempted to give the Greek gods a Greek accent.
Well, apparently they filmed two versions. He did he filmed the Greek version, because I think that was a choice Russell Crowe wanted to make, and Taika Waititi was unsure if that was where he wanted to go, because I think most people in that certain generation, you know, where I'm at, where Taika Waititi sits, Zeus always has been and always will be on film Laurence Olivier from the original Clash of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So he had Russell Crowe also do the scenes with that British accent, that Laurence Olivier type British accent. And through watching it, Taika Waititi said, "Oh, you know what? That really was a good choice. It really worked for this Zeus the Entertainer." And so this is where it sort of worked for me, because as you kind of noted earlier, mythological figures can take on many forms. They can be many things, because it is out there in the zeitgeist, and it can be changed, you know, for certain specific story needs. And what I found fascinating about sort of what I thought Love and Thunder was trying to do in its popcorn way of exploring kind of heavy religious themes, one of the themes that runs throughout the movie from the very beginning are that there are gods out there that don't care about their worshipers, right? They just like being gods. They like being worshipped, but they don't care about the people. And when you get to this, you know, realm of the gods, where Zeus presides over, what I saw was a god who loved having followers, but also, who, in his way, loved his followers, but they were all gone. And so this was his being the showman, these desperate threads of relevancy among people who still believed him or believed in him. And this was the show that they were expecting, and so this is the show that he puts on. And you even want to, if you want to really stretch it thin and tie it into how certain politicians give speeches, and how these specific speeches are really just a greatest hit show of all their applause lines, right?
Wow.
I always got that sense of that sort of where Zeus was at in his existence by that point in the movie. So that this was once the Zeus that we all revered, and now has been reduced to playing this clownish role because that's the only way he can get an audience and gain relevance. And yet it incredibly frustrates him, and he hates it. And what really ties that together for me is that end credit scene, where I think that's the, you know, we really see more of the real Zeus there, the angry, like in that moment, right? I am angry because no one respects and fears us anymore. And now I'm going to take this step to ensure that we will be respected going forward. And that speech he gives at the end, that of course I didn't do justice to, that really sold this portrayal of Zeus to me. That this was that what we saw earlier was a man playing or a god playing a part because he had to, but underneath was this, you know, this fire in his belly for what once was. That's why it worked.
And he lets the mask down when he's talking to Thor, because Thor and Valkyrie and Jane Foster weren't going along with the program. So he even changed his voice and told them how to play.
Yep.
Yeah. And and Thor didn't pick up the social clue. And I don't understand yet what relation they've introduced the Norse pantheon. They've introduced the Egyptian pantheon. They've introduced some other parts of the Egyptian pantheon and the African pantheon of Wakanda. Now they've introduced the Greek Olympians in the mix. So I don't know what they're doing, but I've noticed that they're spending a lot of time on gods, including the Eternals, who are the space gods. So
And it's far removed from the first Thor movie, where it was sort of a established their aliens that were looked at as gods. But now we are getting an expansion of this, and yeah, very little talk about their aliens and more pushing up that aspect of gods, them all being gods, which I think is great. I think it's a great move. It meshes more with the comics as well, because the comics allowed for multiple pantheons to exist. And again, that's where some great conflicts, both comedic and serious, occurred between Thor and Hercules in the comics. And so this movie wonderfully sets up what we hope is a Thor 5 with Thor and Hercules, and hopefully maybe more of Zeus, you know, expanding on that role, and seeing more dimensions to him. I mean, I had my hopes that we were going to see Hercules earlier in this movie. I really wanted to see Hercules flirt with Jane Foster Thor. I thought that would be really fun. One thing I've noticed now about where we're at with the Thor movies, Thor has, over the course of time in the MCU, taken on a very comedic personality that is more reflective, I think, of Hercules in the comics. Whereas Thor in the comics is a lot more serious. Now, we've seen Chris Hemsworth do serious. He can do serious, and he also has great comedic timing. And I think the best thing for the longevity of him as Thor was Marvel, you know, embracing his comedic timing and expanding on that. But he really, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, he's just a buffoon. He's a buffoon. I'm like, no, there's layers to his Thor as well, and a lot of his buffoonery and his comedy is masking, right, his pain.
Right.
So we have really no idea of what this Hercules is going to be like. And we don't even know for sure if Taika Waititi will be directing this movie. But something that Taika Waititi had said on the press junket for Love and Thunder that really intrigued me was, it was that if I were to come back, I would love to do something akin to this movie from a few years ago called Nebraska. Nebraska is about a young man driving to Nebraska with his ailing father. And it's just basically it's these two guys in a car driving. And I think that a movie that really the meat of the movie is Thor and Hercules driving cross country and just how they bounce off each other. And I would be fantastic. I think it's got to, you know, there's got to be the big fight because, you know, we've learned enough from digesting comics, you know, whenever heroes meet, they fight and then they team up. But I would like to see like this nice long stretch of just these guys bouncing off of each other. You know, this Brett Goldstein is playing Hercules. I only really know that he's on this show called Ted Lasso that people really love. And I believe that there was a bit of a, me neither. But I believe there's a bit of a controversy about him because there were people who were convinced that he was an entirely CGI-created character, that there was no Brett Goldstein, the actor. He was entirely CGI for the show Ted Lasso. And there were enough people that believed in this for me to have read several articles about it. So I find that very fascinating. But apparently he is a real guy. And I don't know. That's my hope, though, for I think what we would see is we would see a very angry, I'm going to do what my father tells me, Hercules, who then, through his relationship with Hulk, or with Thor, gets to travel across America, learn about, you know, America, and learn to kind of lighten up and cut people some slack, Chris Hemsworth's Thor. I think that is, that's the movie that I would see. And then, of course, you know, they can beat the crap out of something at the end to make it really exciting. But yeah, I'm down with an hour and a half of these guys just drive across country in a car.
That would be something to see. I don't think the fans would love it. I think Taika would be said that for a fact because he seems to be baiting the fans as so many of these directors will sometimes do. I see them setting up because they're going to have World War Hulk, and Hercules played a very important part in World War Hulk. And if they're setting up, a lot of people feel that they're setting up a Civil War II, and where Thor is missing, and they had like a Thor clone that Tony Stark made, and Hercules recognizes him as a clone and destroys the clone robot or android or whatever it was. So I could see him fitting into different storylines that they're setting up. And he was an Avenger. Well, my take on the, I hope they do something good with Hercules that I'll enjoy watching. I mean, I'll watch them anyway because it's the character. But with Conan, who I also followed for a very long time, there have been periods where I didn't follow it. I just figured I'll wait till it comes out in graphic novel, then I'll wait till it's down to like $5 and I'll read it then. Because I like ever since they put Hercules, and I liked initially what they were doing with the character, but I really didn't like his Guardians of the Galaxy run or his post-Guardians of the Galaxy run. So right now it's kind of like if he appears in one issue, I'll pick up the issue. But if he appears in stories, I'll just wait until they're on graphic novel and read them then. And when they had him on the Avengers for the longest time, they shaved his beard off and he just seemed to be the muscle and that's it. And he'd appear for like a panel or two and do absolutely nothing beyond beat something up or say talking Shakespearean, you know. I stopped reading a lot of those until they got, you know, to him. In retrospect, I love Van Lente and Pax run the best.
The Incredible Herc, that was a really good defining run for Hercules, and probably the most defining and the best character work done on Hercules since the two Bob Layton Hercules Prince of Power miniseries in the early 80s.
Those miniseries is impacted my entire life. So Bob Layton's like a god. I'm glad to have had him and also Fred Van Lente on the show, The Legends of Hercules. But yeah, both of those had an effect on me. Unfortunately, they now put the Layton stuff in another universe. So I was talking about
it was always in a far future the Marvel Universe. And now, they've just kind of shunted it off. Into, what is now Marvel has a multiverse as well, because that's a great way, it's an easy way to explain different versions of the same story.
It is. It's masterful.
We don't really know what Thor 5, if it's going to happen and what it's really going to be. It will be interesting that, again, introducing not just the Greek pantheon, but all these other pantheons, and of course introducing Hercules. It is a big step for the Marvel Universe, and even with their reveals at San Diego a couple weeks ago, even teasing the three big projects for Phase 6, they have several different storylines running. You have your Kang multiverse storyline and the shows and movies that are going to be wrapped in with that. You have your street level stuff that like She-Hulk and now Daredevil being pulled into that. And then you have, your Guardians of the Galaxy wrapping up and other sort of cosmic space stuff happening. And then the tease of a Secret Wars movie pulling, I think, a lot of these threads and a lot of these multiversal threads together. It's very ambitious, and again, I'm very curious to see how Hercules will fit into all that. And with so much going on, I really hope that he does get a chance to grow and breathe and be a fully realized character within the MCU. I could very easily see, if they go the World War Hulk route, a series with a Disney Plus series with Hercules and Amadeus Cho. Inspired by that Fred Van Lente run. I think there's a lot of potential there that they could definitely look into, and hopefully that's where they are looking and that's where they're planning to go with this. But I'm really excited that it finally happened, and I know you are. I thought he looked great. He had the headgear and the arm or the chest strap thing with to hold the sword or the mace. I just thought it was great. I thought it was perfect.
As did I. I thought it looked great. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're doing. There's been talk of a movie. There's been talk of a Disney Plus series. There's been talk People speculating where he might appear next, how he might happen. Your Hercules and Thor driving in a car across country, it sounds like a great one. You should put it on YouTube. And
you know what? That's actually an interesting – it would be really neat if they really hold off an announcement of Thor 5. And just for, like, the next several MCU movies or several MCU movies leading up to that, Hercules popping up looking for Thor. Just if he just has – he pops up in, like, each movie just, like, trying to find Thor, working his way to Thor. That would be really cool. And that would be something that they haven't really done yet, you know, to have that sort of sustained – connecting character pop through each movie. I think that would be, you know, outside of, I guess, the Stan Lee cameos. But yeah, he could be the next Stan Lee cameo going forward for Marvel movies until eventually he does confront Thor and the mayhem that they will cause.
That would be very funny, and that would be very great. I would love to see that in the end. Yeah. It's kind of like when they had with Sergeant Fury and with Coulson, and now they have it with the woman who's recruiting the Thunderbolts. You know, so those
right,
are
right, right, Elaine from Seinfeld. Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, again, it's very ambitious what they're doing. I really have loved everything that they've been doing, and yeah, this Hercules. You know, I think for us and the conversation we've been having, you know, really was that sort of cherry on top of the MCU sundae that is quite delicious at times. So
far I've watched everything. I've watched everything from the beginning to now. So I've been following it, pretty regularly.
It's one of those things that does. It rewards the faithful, you know, and I always like something that rewards the people that stick with it, you know. I really like Thor Love and Thunder. I didn't think it reinvented the wheel, but it was a great entry. It was a lot of fun, really good summer popcorn movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was lots of fun. I'd like to see the 4-hour version that they had.
Yes, I did hear that exists. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun, you know. And again, you know, those things, like, we've seen that work with the Zack Snyder's Justice League, mm-hmm. or even, you know, do, like, cut them up, make it like a series, like a mini four series, the expanded edition. You know, I mean, it's already done, it's already there. Why not show it? You know.
They
so
was,
I do want to.
Oh, go ahead. They said it
no,
was
no,
like
what were you saying?
It was more comedy. It was like they compared it to Monty Python.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with the comedy. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I think the levity is important to break up the intense moments.
Yes.
And that movie did have, you know, some intense, really profound, even sad moments. So, yeah, I think it's a tightrope. It's a balancing act. But I really think that the MCU has really played that balancing act very well. And I think that's why so many different people who don't even know the comics, gravitate towards this material because it plays that balancing act really well. It walks that tightrope to perfection.
I agree.
Yeah. So now I do, in the time we have left, I do want to move on to another movie that we have said that, you know, that we're kind of anticipating, mainly, I think, because we are both fans of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and he has that Hercules connection, having played Hercules on film. And now he is moving on to, a movie that, boy, it seems like from when they announced it to when this movie is coming out, it seems like it was like days. But no, it was 15 years.
Yes.
15 years ago, they announced that Dwayne Johnson is going to be playing Black Adam. And finally, I believe in October, November, we get to see this movie. We have seen trailers. A couple things I'm really looking forward to. How you are with Hercules in comics, especially the Marvel Hercules, you have to get – even if it's one panel, you got to get it. So I was I was really stoked to see Hawkman in this movie. I think the design looks great. And even though it looks like Black Adam just beats the heck out of him, I don't care. It's Hawkman on the big screen. So for me, that is really exciting. I'm also really excited with Black Adam because I am a big Shazam fan. And mm-hmm. even though they have at this point separated the two characters, he is part of that mythology, is part of that story. I've always loved Shazam ever since I was a kid. I think there was just something about that costume that grabbed me and that it leaned into mythology. So for those who don't know, Shazam is a magic word that Billy Batson says to become the original Captain Marvel. We really don't have time to get into all of that, but there's plenty out there for you if you really want to see that whole story. Check it out. But now the character is commonly now known as Shazam. And Shazam stands for Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, and Mercury. And first and foremost, looking at the combination not only of Greco-Roman mythology, but Judeo-Christian mythology as well, and that they lumped Solomon in there, and Solomon was a guy. He really wasn't a god like these other guys were, right? Or a demigod. You know, he was a king. But he was also known for his wisdom, and so for one thing, I just think that is really remarkable, especially for 1941 when this character was created, that they would kind of lump those guys together. And again, it's the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, the power of Zeus, and the courage of Achilles, and the speed of Mercury. And again, a brilliant character created because not only was he the hero, he was also the kid sidekick. Because Billy Batson was like a 10-year-old kid. He says Shazam, boom, he's Fred McMurray or Cary Grant, you know, in red long underwear, and he's got all these powers, and he can fly. And the Shazam movie that came out a few years ago, of which it's getting a sequel, nailed, I think, that whole concept.
Yeah,
it was, you know, the movie Big, but with superpowers. So obviously you gravitated towards Hercules for those various reasons. What was your thoughts on Shazam growing up? Was it someone that you were into, or was it close enough to what, you know, the itch you wanted to be scratched for your mythological connection?
I was aware of a Shazam called Captain Marvel at the time, and
yep.
I was aware of the origin story, and I liked the concept of the Shazam. I didn't really follow the stories or the mythology. It developed along the same way as like the Superman family and the Batman family. And
mm-hmm.
Although I like the core characters and some of their adventures, I really wasn't into any of them enough to want to learn the entire mythology. But you pick it up through osmosis after a while. Anyway, but no, I didn't really follow them. I have the old serials of Captain Marvel somewhere in the basement in a box.
Arguably, but a lot of people do consider it the greatest movie serial of all time. And I absolutely loved it. I've actually been rewatching it recently. People, you know, a lot of people realize, you know, Superman really made it big on the big screen, but Captain Marvel was first. That 1941
right.
serial predated the Kirk Allen Superman serial. There's some things that are absolutely ridiculous. Like there's a scene where the enemies are running away, and Captain Marvel, portrayed perfectly though, as far as how he looked and how he moved by Tom Taylor, the king of the movie serials. But Captain Marvel picks up a Gatling gun and just mows these guys down as they're running away. And, you know, you're kind of like, well, that's cold, Captain Marvel. But then you're like, why didn't you use your powers? You know?
Right.
So there are some moments that are a little ishy, but it is still such a great thing to watch. To see how they handled the flying effects are so cool. It was a mix of the blue screen and a mannequin on a wire. Uh-huh. So, but it works. It works so well.
Yeah, Batman and Robin used to come here on revolvers. I remember in the
yep.
early
Oh,
Batman.
Yeah, yeah, yep. But again, you have the strength of Hercules, the speed of Mercury. You could easily just run over and pluck these guys out.
Right.
I guess the wisdom of Solomon was just like, ah, that's a little too much effort. So we're just going to shoot him. Now, were you aware also, because there was a very popular live-action show for Shazam in the early to mid-70s, that
yes.
even though I think they only filmed like three seasons, it was in syndication long enough for me to have remembered watching it
yes.
as a child.
I watched that when it played like Isis. I didn't watch the whole series.
Yep.
I eventually found Isis on DVD, but I watched enough of them on TV to get a sense of where it was going, and I enjoyed the syndicated run as well. Like I enjoyed the Hulk and the Spider-Man syndicated runs.
Yep.
Superheroes are the gods of our culture. They're the pantheons of our culture.
Yes.
Zeus remarked at the end of Love and Thunder, and people
mm-hmm.
want. Up in the sky now to see their favorite superhero. And there was a wonderful book written called Our Gods Wear Spandex that really
mm-hmm.
explores this in great detail. And Grant Morrison wrote a book too about
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah. Super Gods. That's a really good
yeah.
book that he wrote that
yeah.
really dives into that. Yep. So yeah, just a few minutes left, but so here's one thing though, and I can easily see why someone of your taste would not gravitate toward Shazam, because one of the things about all those Captain Marvel stories from the 40s to the 50s, there was a cease for 20 years, it came back in the 70s, and the decision was made to just emulate those stories from before, and Captain Marvel back then was very much written for kids. And when it came
mm-hmm.
back in the 70s, where you started to have more sophisticated comics content, thankfully, in part to the Marvel age, they were still kid. It was still kid stuff. And then there have been so many attempts at revitalizing Shazam over the years. He's probably had more origins than almost any other character out there. So I think it is very hard for people to kind of grasp onto, I think, a definitive version. I think the Power of Shazam series from the 90s that Jerry Ordway wrote is probably one of the better, modern, more definitive versions. The
mm-hmm.
Geoff Johns, Gary Frank one that was part of the New 52 was a little too dark, but the movie uses that as the basis and really brought the fun and lightheartedness. And so for me, as of now, again, a character that I've loved, and there are other origin stories. There's one that Roy Thomas did in the early 80s that was I love that. That's like, oh, that will always be my Shazam, my preferred Shazam origin. But the movie, I feel, from 2019 really is the best representation of that character to date. And
I enjoyed the movie.
Again,
I loved it too. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it did what it needed to do. It did it well, and again, I'm looking for more with now more gods, because Shazam 2, The Fury of the Gods, comes out, I think, a month after Black Adam, and again, Black Adam pulls more from Egyptian culture, but it is the same wizard that gives him his powers. He's just a bad Shazam, and eventually, those two characters are going to throw down, and I think that is going to be a battle that will be equal to the upcoming Thor Hercules battle that we're eagerly awaiting in the MCU. And I think I just successfully pulled all of that together with
yes,
just enough time for me to say thank you for being on tonight's show. It was great to revisit our conversation. It was great to kind of learn more about you and your origins. If there's time left, let's have you tell people where they can reach out to you. And again, thank you for listening to the Pep Talk.
Thank you for having me on. I missed this, and it was very refreshing to be conversing with you again. The best way to reach me right now is on Facebook, Hercules Invictus, H-E-R-C-U-L-E-S, Invictus, I-N-V-I-C-T-U-S. I have a presence there. And the other way is by email, hercules.invictus@gmail.com. Those are the two best ways to reach me at present.
Cool. And if you search Thor the Barbarian on YouTube, you might still find some gems floating around there, because I know I did. And that stuff is really fun to watch.
And I invite people to join our new adventures, because they're ongoing.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I think we're out of time. Have a wonderful August. Look forward to talking to you, to somebody in September at the next Pep Talk. Thanks for listening. And again, as always, Hercules, thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm really enjoying this.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to seeing you in the comic shop, Joker's Child, very soon.
Yes, yes, Joker's Child, where we met, and that's where my secret identity of comic slinger Phil resides.
Take care, John. Thanks again.
Take care, Hercules. Thanks for listening.